Good morning. My Bible's going to be open up to Luke chapter 16. I would encourage you to find that passage. We're going to be there here in just a moment. Luke chapter 16. It's so good to see you this morning. We've got a good crowd of folks with us, and it is a joy to be with you worshiping our God together. It's good to be back with you. We've been gone over the past week, but it was a Wednesday kind of situation. So even though it was just a week, it seemed like a really long time since we've been here with you. But we're excited to be back. We had a good time while we were away last weekend. I performed a wedding. It was a beautiful ceremony. I mean, you have two young people devoted to one another, but what was really exciting about it is those two young people even more so devoted to Christ. And it was a wonderful time to be with them in the very northern part of the state of Florida, up in the panhandle. And it made for some really interesting travel, because when I asked the groom, who I know really well, where should we stay? Is there a place to stay right there where you live, or the wedding was going to be at the bride's family farm? He says, no places to stay in the city, in this little town. I'm like, what do you mean? No? He's like, no places to stay. You got to stay in Dothan, Alabama. That's the closest city that has a place to stay. And so we stayed in Alabama and kept traveling back and forth to Florida. So it made a really interesting kind of situation. We drove down Wednesday night to Alabama, dropped off our stuff, and then drove to Florida for Bible study and dinner. And then after that, we drove back to Florida to sleep that night. And then on Thursday, we drove back to Florida for the rehearsal, and then after that was done, back to Alabama to sleep. And then on Friday, drove back to Florida for the wedding, but that time stayed in Florida. After the wedding, we drove over to the coast and spent a few days over there relaxing and enjoying our time together. But we are back, and we are excited to be back and excited to be here with you this morning. We're going to study from Luke chapter 16 this morning. And we're going to spend some time just in this one passage. And it really is, a lot of ways, an interesting passage. There are two stories that we have given to us in this passage. Lord willing, we're going to spend time on the first story this morning. And then this evening, you've got to come back, because this evening we're going to spend our time on the second story that Jesus gives in Luke chapter 16. Both of the stories center around a very similar theme. They both begin in exactly the same way. We'll talk more about that here in just a moment. But both of these stories center around our relationship with our material goods. Money, material things, covetousness, our attitude towards those things, but not just our attitude towards those things, even consequences that come to when we hold those things in a regard that is not godly. And so I want us to keep that focus. We'll certainly talk more about that tonight when we spend time on the second story given to us in Luke chapter 16, because keeping that context and keeping the focus of the entirety of what the chapter is about will really help as we begin to dig into it a little bit. There's a common quote about money that floats around. I really tried hard this week to find who initially said this, but I just couldn't. It's a quote that's out there, and it's out there a lot, and lots of newspaper articles have had it, and I just couldn't find who said it, and so ultimately, I think I'm going to take credit for it. I was going to put my name at the bottom. I tried hard to find out who initially said it, but couldn't, so maybe I'll soon take credit for this, but it is a pretty well-known quote, that money is a universal provider for everything except happiness, and a passport to everywhere except heaven. And it's an interesting concept, certainly. It's an interesting quote, because it kind of wakes us up a little bit, and it kind of opens our eyes a little bit, because in a lot of ways, at least our society thinks opposite of this. Our society thinks that money provides everything, especially happiness. That the more money that you have, the more things that you can buy, the happier that you are. That's what our society says. And so it's opposite of this in every way. And it absolutely can get you anywhere that you want to go. And so we lift it up and we put it on a pedestal in so many ways. And again, I'll reiterate, especially in our society. It is a society that we live in. And yes, there are so many incredible blessings with living in the place that we live. But also there comes incredible challenges, especially in this area. We talked even this morning in our Bible class. Kevin was teaching. We're in the book of Revelation with the high school class. And we talked specifically about this and the parallels between the Roman society and specifically all of the advantages and blessings that being a Roman citizen and a part of that culture would bring to you. And then the temptation for Christians at that time to go against that would mean loss of job, loss of money, loss of friends, loss of life even. But yet in our society, it really isn't that different. There are incredible blessings that come from the place that we live. But with that also comes challenges, specifically in areas like this. And so we know of passages like this one in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, where it says that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And so I don't want us in any way, and the picture that's going to be painted, and certainly not the picture that Jesus paints here in Luke chapter 16, that money is sinful, or having money is sinful, or having a fair amount of money is sinful. None of that is given to us in Scripture. But it is our attitude towards it. And most importantly, what we're going to see with this first story is what we do with the things that we have. Our stewardship of it. And so right here in Luke chapter 16, there are two stories shared to us by Jesus. Both of these stories center on the idea of wealth, how it shall be viewed, how it can be handled. One story at the beginning of the chapter we'll talk about this morning emphasizes our stewardship. And how we need to use our God-given blessings even. And doing so faithfully. And then secondly, the second story points out the fact that one day is coming where each and every one of us will have to give an account of how we use those things. Neither of these two stories here in Luke chapter 16, neither of these two stories given to us by Jesus are either called a parable. Either by Jesus himself or by Luke. And so I think it's likely that the Lord is describing for us here actual occurrences. Now we're going to talk more about that this evening when we spend time on the second story that really has widespread view in this arena specifically. But whether or not you land on the side of this is a parable or this is an actual story, do not in any way allow that to cloud the reality that the spiritual principles involved remain the same. And in no way lose sight of the whole context about what this chapter is about. And so hopefully by now you're open to Luke chapter 16. I've given you lots of opportunity to get there. So Luke chapter 16, the first story that Jesus shares, starts there in verse 1 and travels down to verse 13. We're going to read it together. We'll point out a few things as we begin our study on this Lord's Day from this incredible chapter. Let's read it together. Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. It says, and he also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him, and that this man was wasting his goods. And so he called him and said to him, well, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. And then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I've resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And so he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And then he said to another, how much do you owe? And so he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. And so the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you in everlasting habitation. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What so often happens with Jesus and the stories that he tells, whether it's a specific occurrence of someone that he knows, or a situation that the people that he's talking to here would be familiar with, or whether it's a parable, he often, at the very end of that story, gives the point. So we don't miss it. And I don't want us to miss it anyway, because that's exactly what Jesus does. If you find yourself struggling through this story in any way with what's Jesus mean here, or what's he trying to get across, or what is really this 100 to 50, or what is this 100 to 80, what is that all about? When you find yourself wading through some of those waters, always drop to the end. We're going to get there here in a moment, but it is in every way the key component to this story. If you find yourself struggling with what Jesus is trying to get across here, don't struggle. Go to chapter 16 and verse 13. That's what he's trying to get across. Now, we're going to close with that here in just a moment. But that is what he is trying to get across. But let's go to the beginning of this story. Try to analyze a little bit some of the points, some of the principles even, that Jesus would have his disciples there, and ultimately now all of us as we have this book open to study. And at the outset is this understanding of a steward, and specifically what a steward is. If you were to look up just a definition of a steward, you will find something like this: someone who manages another's wealth. That's basically what a steward is. Someone who manages another's wealth. And so when we think about those things, really when it comes down to being a steward, the most important thing about a steward is that he would serve his master faithfully. Because that's what's happening right here. The master finds out that the steward is not treating him right, it's not serving him faithfully, and so he fires him. Why? Because he wasn't serving him faithfully. He wasn't managing his wealth in the right kind of way. A steward in every way, when he looks at all of the things around him, when he looks at all of the things around him, he has to understand fully, the things around me are not mine. They are the master's. And if that idea and that concept can sit in the head of the steward, he's going to be already heading in the right direction. That the things that are around me, the things that I manage, the things that I see, they're not mine personally, but they are my master's. And so this steward here, this particular steward, forgot this point. This particular steward began acting like the master, like the owner and not the steward, and ultimately was called out for it, and ultimately he was fired because of it. And so when we begin to think about application of that, certainly application of that should come fairly quickly. Because we have been given an assortment of things by God as stewards to manage that need to be looked at as not mine, but his. We could start with things like we have right here, and usually the first thing that comes to our mind is something like our material wealth, the money that I have, the goods that I have. We've got to be good stewards of that. We've got to think of them in the right way. I want you to hold your finger in Luke chapter 16. There's an interesting passage in the book of Deuteronomy that I think can help us with this mindset. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want you to listen. Listen to the words beginning of verse 11 and keep in mind where we've been in Luke 16 and the point that we're sitting on. And now read with me Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning of verse 11. He says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth.' And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day." You know, it's a powerful passage here that is imploring the children of Israel. When you are enjoying the incredible blessings that will come, the houses that you have, the money in your pocket, the food on your table, all of the incredible things that you have, always remember where those things came from. He says, listen, there's going to be a temptation to look at all of those things and forget the Lord, and to be then focused upon, look at what I have accumulated. Look at what I have built. Look at what I have done. And the people here are reminded, all of those incredible blessings are made possible because of God and what he has done. And how foolish it would be in every way to forget that. And we turn back to Luke chapter 16 and we begin to think about the incredible blessings that we've been given and the fact that we are stewards of those, even our material wealth, it would behoove us to think in the same way. That although possibly we went to school, and although possibly we've worked hard, and although possibly we have walked up out the ladder in the corporate world and have gained material wealth, there's a great temptation to then focus on what I have done and lose sight of what God has done. That those things isn't about what I have, but what God has and what I'm in charge over. Today, we're stewards of the material wealth that we have, whether we consider even that a lot or we consider it a little. Sometimes I think there's a temptation to focus in on the fact that, listen, I don't have that much material wealth. And so because of that, I don't have to think about it as much as someone who has a lot more material wealth than I do. You take those little or much or middle out of it completely. It doesn't matter how much we think, little or a lot that we may have. What we have belongs to God. And we need to be stewards over it. We could talk about things specifically like our time, the time that we've been given. Passages like the book of Ephesians gives us a reminder of how it is that we need to operate in this arena. And Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." The time that we have is limited, and the time that we have is a blessing given to us by God. Every single day that we wake up, it is a day that God has deemed that we should have. Because He is the holder of when time ends. He is the one who makes that deciding factor. He is the factor in that. And so every day that we wake up, every moment that we have is a gift from God. He is the one that has decided, as I'm thinking personally, Jeremy is given this time. He is given this amount of time. I have given him this day, this hour, this minute even. And we can think about it in those terms. We begin to think about time in some way being minted into precious minutes, if you will. And then handed to us to use either wisely or carelessly. You see, with money, we can understand that. Someone hands you 10 bucks and says, hey, be wise or be foolish with that. I can understand those terms. We need to think about our time that way. That we've been given something, minted, precious minutes, that we can use carelessly or we can use wisely. We are stewards of our gifts and of our abilities. The Apostle Peter will write in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 specifically. He says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards. There's even our words, as good stewards of the manifold wisdom of Christ. So we have to also be stewards of the gifts and the abilities that we have. The blessings that God has given to us. Who are we going to be? Are we going to be like the thief in this case? The thief who operates under the guise of what yours is mine and therefore I'll take it. Or are we going to operate as the selfish man operates? What's mine is mine. I'll keep it. Or will we operate as the godly Christian that we see in the New Testament? What is mine is a gift from God. And so therefore I will share it. We have to make that determining factor. One other one that I'll share with you that's a little bit different than these, but I think one that certainly fits, is I also see us as stewards of the gospel that we've been given. These first three are things that we have personally, very easy for us to understand. But as Christians, as those of us that are in Christ who have felt the power of the gospel, I think the New Testament teaches that we are stewards of that message. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, I think that helps us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, is where I am in verse 4. It says, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. I like the way that the Apostle Paul puts that for us, that we have been entrusted, that we have been entrusted with the gospel. And like this steward in Luke chapter 16, one day, we'll have to give an account of our stewardship. The master hears. He's not faithfully acting like the steward he needs to be. And so the master comes back and fires him. One day we will have to give account of our stewardship. Back in Luke chapter 16, as this story begins to unfold, there's an interesting kind of piece of the story that lays out for us that sometimes can be confusing to folks. That after it is, the steward is seemingly fired. He looks around and says, well, listen, I've got no money, and I'm not in a position to be able to make money. This is the life that I've lived, and now I have nothing. And so he then goes behind his master's back. And he goes to those that he has in debt and basically just continues walking that line of taking from his master. And the one who says, hey, how much do you owe my master? I owe him 100. Well, give me 50. And so that guy says, that's a great deal, and writes him that check for 50. Or writes him that check for 80, or whatever the case may be. He continues taking. The story is given to us here, where the master commends the student for acting shrewdly. And I don't want us in any way confuse this by thinking that it's Jesus commending this steward for robbing his master or encouraging dishonesty in any way. I don't think that's the point that's being made. The point that's certainly being made here, as the story continues to unfold through verse 3 down through verse 8 specifically, is that the sons or children of this world, depending on the translation that you use, the sons of this world only see things of this time, not things of eternity. And because of that, they act a certain way. This steward only sees the things of this earth, only sees things in this world, in this time. And because of that, he acted in a certain way. Because of that, he surrounded himself with certain folks. So the point is made here in these verses that the children of this world are only wiser in their generation. That they can see only things in this time, not things of eternity. And so as this story concludes, there are really three points made that each and every one of us should take about the things that we have, the things that we've been given by God. And the first is that we've got to use our opportunities wisely. Our lives and our resources will one day end. And so we need to use them wisely. While we have opportunity, verse 9 specifically, while we have opportunity, we should make friends for the Lord. For those in thinking about His way and in His time. Secondly, the point is made that we've got to be faithful in the way that we use the things that we have. We've got to be faithful in that. God did not or will not commit His true riches to individuals who waste those things here. I'm not going to provide that. And then finally, as we've talked about already, the importance is to be wholly devoted to God with single-mindedness. Once again, in chapter 16 and verse 13, the point is made at the end of this story that no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You take notice of the language, the strength of the language that's used in this verse. It's very similar to what was read in Matthew chapter 6. You cannot serve God and mammon. A servant cannot serve two masters. And so the strength of that language causes us to think in a way that the reality is we cannot serve two masters any more than we cannot walk in two different directions. I cannot walk in this direction and walk in this direction at the same time. We cannot serve God and mammon. And so the point is, if we choose to serve things of this world, the material blessings that we have, the physical things that we live around, if we choose to serve those things, this verse tells us that we cannot serve God. That's the strength of this passage. And if we choose to serve God, then we will not serve those things. And so we ultimately conclude with this choice. It will either be God or it will be riches. It cannot be both of those things. It can't. It is a powerful message given to us from this story in Luke chapter 16. To me, the interesting thing about this chapter is Jesus isn't done talking about it. And although right now I may be about done talking about it, but I would love to see you come back. When we come back this afternoon at 6 o'clock, where we'll continue to see what Jesus has to say on this topic from a story that a lot of people have said lots of things about, but often very little on what the whole point of the chapter really is. And so we'll hammer all of those things out, Lord willing, this afternoon. But from this point, it is a powerful message and a choice that we have. It is God or it is riches. How is it that we are spending what God has blessed us with as stewards? Not of what we have, but of what we have been given. After that, we had the Lord's Supper this morning. I really appreciated Brother McNabb's prayer before our giving this morning, because he began that prayer in a lot of ways, even though we are putting material goods into the basket. He began his prayer with really where our focus should be and the spiritual blessings that are in Christ. It is the driving force to all of the material things that we have. And if our focus can remain on that, I believe we'll be the type of steward that God would have us to be. Well, I appreciate you listening so well. I hope you'll make it back tonight when we finish out this chapter and this conversation that Jesus has with his disciples, and we'll find out that there were other people listening and were not very happy with what he had to say. And because of that, Jesus has something else to say. And that's the conclusion of Luke chapter 16. But at this time, we're going to have an opportunity for us to consider where we are with God. The day will lead us in a song of invitation. It will give us that opportunity to do something about it if something needs to be done. We've talked already about making good use of the time that we have, and right now is a great example of that. Because God has provided this opportunity for all of us to be thinking about where we are with Him. And so it's a good opportunity that none of us should waste. And it may be, as you're thinking about that you come to the realization that you are separated from God because of your sin. Let's have that sin washed away this morning in the waters of baptism. You may come to the realization that you have walked away. Maybe you have made the choice to serve the things of this world and not God. Let's come back to Him today. Maybe we can help with that in some way. If we can in any way, let us know as we stand and sing. Oh.